This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Welcome, this is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast show with Alice and Andrea. Our community is made up of so many amazing and diverse groups of people, as are the programs that are on Joy 94.9. There's something for everyone. A Little Pot of Joy is where we highlight just some of these amazing programs.
We're opening the evening with a podcast from Queer Community Network News, QNN. QNN is produced and podcast by Jacob Holman, presented by Jacob, Matthew, Tanya and Adam.
This is news and information for the bisexual, trans and intersex communities of Australia and the world.
QNN is broadcast nationally via the Community Radio News Network. So if you missed the highlights, podcasts are available for download from the Joy website, www.joy.org.au/QNN.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Made in Melbourne, for Australia and the world. This is the Joy 94.9 GLBTIQ News Roundup, a weekly update of what's been happening in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans and intersex communities.
G'day and welcome to QNN. I'm Adam Samuel.
And I'm Alastair Kingston. Just when you thought every country bar Russia was going to beat us to marriage equality, it could become a reality as soon as August, with two federal MPs set to introduce a bill to legalise same-sex marriage. Long-time LGBTI rights activist and Liberal MP Warren Entsch is set to introduce the bill to Parliament after the six-week winter break, along with Labor MP Terry Butler. Opposition leader Bill Shorten has shown his support for the new bipartisan stance, saying in the end it's really about the outcomes, not the names. However, Prime Minister Tony Abbott reaffirmed his views and stance on marriage during the week, saying Australia had more important things to worry about, such as economic growth.
Meanwhile, Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce has warned same-sex marriage may harm our Asian cattle trade, as it could be seen as decadent. In an interview with ABC's Insiders program, Joyce warned of the impact legalising same-sex marriage, noting that economically Australia was part of Asia, as that is where our cattle go. Labor Senator Penny Wong was quick to slam his comments, saying linking same-sex marriage to trade was an inventive new excuse, and Australian Marriage Equality also dismissed the claim, saying Australians will not be guided by what some Chinese or Burmese official thinks is decadent.
Across to the US, and a San Francisco high school set to add LGBT studies to its curriculum. The course at Ruth Asawa School of the Arts will cover the history of gender and sexuality, the different experiences of the LGBT community, as well as San Francisco's pivotal role in the civil rights movement. It's hoped the course will give participants an appreciation of the different experiences of the same-sex attracted community and turn them into good allies. 25 students have already signed up for the subject, with the school expecting to enroll up to 40 before the start of the semester.
Heading across the Atlantic now, and Nigerian LGBT activists have welcomed the news, saying support for the country's anti-gay law is dropping. A recent poll found 87% of Nigerians support the law, which came into force early 2014. That's down from 96% just 5 years ago. Activist Bisi Alimi says the law means anyone who is same-sex attracted, or even thought to be, could be jailed. However, he's hopeful things are changing.
52% of people who said that they don't agree that people were born gay said they will accept, or they have accepted, their brother, their sisters, their friends, or their neighbours who's gay.
And briefly now, independence wasn't the only celebration in the US this weekend, as the LGBT community commemorated 50 years of advocating for equal rights.
A gay Russian couple have been awarded asylum in Finland on the grounds of sexual discrimination.
QNN. Our legislation proposes a new definition, the union of two people. To all lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex Australians, we offer change that says your relationship is equal under the law. Let's switch on the light. Let's make 2015 the year when Australians embrace marriage equality.
Hopes are high that gay marriage could be delivered before the end of the year, with the Leader of the Opposition, Bill Shorten, seizing the momentum following Ireland's referendum. The pressure is now squarely on the Prime Minister. In Parliament last week, Tony Abbott gave the strongest hint yet that a free vote is on the cards.
If our Parliament were to make a big decision on a matter such as this, it ought to be owned by the Parliament and not by any particular party.
So how keen was the coalition to own the issue? Not very, it turns out. Tanya Plibersek's offer to drop out as a co-sponsor of the bill in favour of a Liberal supporter of marriage equality was ignored, and in Parliament on Monday, the government benches were almost empty. Liberal MP Warren Entsch has criticised the timing of Mr Shorten's bill.
This is not something that should be a single individual hanging their shingle on this, and says, I'm disappointed with the, the diversion or, Bill's bill. No, I think that is totally counterproductive.
But Labor's Penny Wong doubts reports the government ever intended to raise the matter in the spring session of Parliament.
Well, do you think we'd be even having this conversation if Bill Shorten and Tanya Plibersek hadn't moved this bill? We've had 14 months with a bill proposed by Tanya, offering bipartisanship. No one stepped up. Well, it's time someone does, and it's time Tony Abbott was made to do the right thing.
The week following Ireland's historic gay marriage referendum saw a dramatic shift in the debate here at home. Switching over to the column in favour were Coalition MPs Greg Hunt, Mal Brough, Ewan Jones and Darren Chester. Also backing the reform on his 2GB show last week was Alan Jones.
In a very difficult world, which is often impersonal, uncaring, ruthless and sometimes brutal, in personal relationships, love can prove elusive. And my view is that when people find love, they should be able to celebrate it.
All eyes now are on the Prime Minister and whether or not he will honour his election promise to let the party decide on a free vote.
And turning to other news now, the Royal Children's Hospital is set to receive an additional $6 million of funding over the next 4 years to resource the growing need of gender dysphoria services. Since its commencement in 2003, the waiting list for support and services for transgender youth has jumped from 7 in 2007 to 104 last year. Minister for Equality Martin Foley says the work of the clinic is life-saving and will make a huge difference in the lives of those who are accessing the service.
Advocates have welcomed the repeal of a law in Victoria which criminalised the transmission of HIV. The Andrews Labor government promised before the election to repeal Section 19A of the Crimes Act, which had never been successfully used in court. Paul Kidd from the HIV Legal Working Group says other laws can be used in cases of deliberate HIV transmission. He spoke to Joy 94.9 this week.
Our argument against it has been on two fronts. Part of it is that it's essentially redundant, but more importantly, we think that it's a very counterproductive law. It's something that perpetuates stigma against people with HIV.
And which LGBT trailblazer has been named Britain's seventh most influential woman? We'll tell you right after QNN Sport with Tanya Lewis.
A national football side in the US is set to host an LGBT Pride night later this year. The Detroit Lions will be the first NFL team to hold a gay night when the team takes on the Minnesota Vikings on the 25th of October. CEO of the Detroit Regional LGBT Chamber of Commerce, James Felton Keith, says it means a lot to have the Lions on board, helping out with the state's Inclusiveness in Detroit campaign. The group has also hosted Pride nights for professional basketball, ice hockey and baseball teams. The National Rugby League has joined Aussie Rules and Soccer Codes in announcing its support for gay marriage. The NRL wrote a letter to the Australian Marriage Equality Group outlining the league's values of inclusiveness and policies to support LGBTI rights. Rabbitohs star Tom Burgess has praised the NRL's decision and says it's ignorant and outdated to go against the marriage equality movement. And finally, 2 weeks after leaving his new Canadian football side for personal reasons, Michael Sam has returned to the Montreal Alouettes. There was speculation about whether Sam would play this season following negative comments from teammates until he was sighted in Montreal at Olympic Stadium recently. Sam told the club he was sorry for leaving but is now fully committed to the side.
Thanks, Tanya. And before we go, Caitlyn Jenner has been named the seventh most influential female in Britain's Women's Hour 2015 power list. Jenner came out as transgender earlier this year and has since been an outspoken advocate for trans issues around the world. And that's QNN for another week. I'm Adam Samuel.
And I'm Alistair Kingston.
Thanks to the team at QNN. That was the Joy 94.9 GLBTIQ News Roundup. To hear this update again, you can subscribe to the QNN podcast, available at joy.org.au/QNN. Or you can follow QNN on Twitter, at QNN Australia. At QNN Australia.
You're on Joy 94.9, listening to A Little Pot of Joy with Alice and Andrea. Next up, we have from last week's Saturday magazine, Irish Roots.
Macca and Josh on panel were joined by Mayor Dolly Doyle for this week's flagship news and lifestyle show.
Robert Doyle is asked about why the Liberals are not willing to have a conscience vote for the support of same-sex marriage.
If you can't listen to the show live, download the podcast from the Joy website, www.joy.org.au, or the iTunes Store.
You're listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
And today we look at developments of marriage equality in Parliament. I know it's getting a bit boring, but hopefully we're going to get there eventually. We're going to tackle some of the pressing issues in Melbourne with the Lord Mayor of Melbourne, who we know as Dolly Doyle.
No, you don't. You're making stuff up now.
And we're going to talk about, just for a change, Robert, we're going to talk about marriage equality.
Oh, good. Also, a good fresh topic. That's fantastic, Macca. You're right on the crest of the wave here, aren't you? Right up with the latest issues. Before anybody else talks about them, here you are.
Well, that's just to get you comfortable before we attack you.
Oh, I was going to say, for a man who's trying to dump his new nickname of Dolly, that's not the way to do it.
You used to be a friend of mine. You slow right down there.
I'm just suggesting don't go for the jugular with Macca. He's vicious.
Let's get on with it. Robert Doyle.
Macca.
There's been a bit of commotion in Canberra.
Surely not.
About
how could such things be, Macca?
About same-sex marriage, and I've got to say, Uncle Eric Abetz is, I think, the uncle that you have in the family that everyone gets their seat around the table at Christmas dinner, and there's one left right at the end where you'd sit Eric, because he says things that really you don't want to say, and he's saying, basically, if you don't agree with policy and you're a frontbencher, you should resign, as he did. When he didn't agree with climate change, of course, there was another reason as well. But why is this so difficult? Why won't the Prime Minister, for God's sake, he wants this issue out of the way. We know that. Well, the Liberal Party is about conscience, they say. Why won't he let them have a conscience vote? What has he got to fear?
I don't know. I'm not the Prime Minister, mate.
Okay, you're a previous Liberal leader in Victoria. You're still a committed and passionate Liberal. You're committed and passionate about same-sex marriage. Like, what is it?
I would think also that the part of this question is as a former leader, how would you approach this situation?
Yeah. Well, if it were me, I wouldn't call it a conscience vote. You can always have a conscience vote in the Liberal Party. It just means that you disagree with the party platform. You tell the leader and you tell the whip, and then you are free to vote with your conscience.
Unless you're a front bench.
No. Any time at all. You can make a conscience vote. I don't want to sort of split hairs here, but a free vote is where the party doesn't have a position.
Right.
Okay? A conscience vote is where you actually vote against the party's position and you explain why.
Which is important to differentiate.
Yeah, and that's a big difference. So a free vote is where the party says, well, we don't think we should have a firm policy on this that is Liberal Party policy, that is binding on people. We think we should have an open vote where people can make up their mind, just to confuse you, according to their own conscience. And that is a big difference. Look, if it were me, I would say we're not going to have a position on this. And I did that a couple of times when I was leader. What you then do in your party room, normally you would have the relevant minister making the argument about the party's position. Then you'd have a debate that ensues. Then you'd have a vote on it. And then it becomes policy if that vote passes. In a free vote, what you do is you bring in, if you like, exponents of both sides. And you let them make the arguments, usually someone from outside the party, someone who's recognised as an expert in the area, and then you say, okay, you've now got the information that's required, now it's up to you how you vote. And that's how I would do it.
So then the next question is, why isn't that being done on a federal level, do you think?
I really don't know the answer to that. I mean, there are some very conservative people in both our parties. In the Labor Party, where Kirsty and I, of course, served together in the Victorian Parliament, and I can remember, you know, ministers like Christine Campbell who had very strong beliefs.
Absolutely.
You know, voting a different way from Labor Party policy because she
should have been in the DLP.
Well, but the DLP was originally part of the Labor Party.
I know. Yes.
But there's always been a part of the Labor Party that's sort of been the conservative, you know, religious right of the Labor Party, as there always has been in the Liberal Party. And that's good, you know. We always say in politics we're a broad church, which means that we are fighting furiously internally and we can't possibly agree with each other.
Because the Prime Minister said before the last election, this will be discussed in the party room after the election. He then said, when a bill comes before the Parliament, that's when we'll have the discussion in the party room. The little subtext there is, we actually control the committee that decides whether or not a private member's bill gets presented. We've got a majority on that, and it's not going to happen. So, you know,
You don't want to have a fight about that, though, do you? I mean, to be honest, you don't have a fight with your own party about whether you'll debate a private member's bill. The reality is, Parliament is government time, you know, to debate government bills. That's the rule of the game. It's very rare for a private member's bill to get up at all.
Yeah. Sorry, Kirsty.
No, I was just interested as to whether or not, Robert, you think that the topic has been marketed particularly well from either side, because I consider this to be about equality. It's about marriage, but actually what it's about is ensuring that any person, regardless of any particular characteristic, is given an equal view in the eyes of the law. And so do I think that same-sex couples should be forcibly able to get married in a church? No, I think that I'd like to think that the churches open up their arms and say, please, we'd like you to be a part of this wonderful community.
Yeah. But there's nothing stopping the churches, by the way. I mean, it is the Marriage Act. So it's the legislation that's
exactly
the difficulty here.
And so this is about just making the law equal.
Okay, let me... This is going to sound odd because, you know, and I have been on the front page of our newspaper saying I support this, and I think I was the first Conservative politician to do so. So I'm not putting this argument in any way to suggest I support it. But the argument that would come from the other side runs along the lines that this is, by definition, between a man and a woman. That is the definition of it. You mightn't like that this thing that we put things on that has four legs is a table, but that is what we call it. They would argue marriage is defined by a union of a man and a woman. Now, if you start from that position, and that's where they are coming from, then you can't arrive anywhere else on marriage equality if you start from that position. If you start from our position to say, well, that's an historical anomaly, and by the way, we change legislation every single day in the Parliament, that's what we do, and there are lots of things that we do now that we didn't do 50 years ago, then you arrive at quite a different conclusion. So it's, I think part of the difficulty is, and it was a question I think you asked before, Kirsty, I don't think the two sides understand each other's position very well.
Yeah.
And what I don't want to see is this descending into just rock-chucking across the corridors of Parliament or in our streets. I think what we've got to do, people who are in public life, yourself, Mac and me, is put the argument in a calm and a very passionate manner, but without that sort of heat of argument or without insult. You know, we just need to keep putting the arguments, and I believe inexorably that will win. I understand people's impatience.
I would be the absolute first person to congratulate the Prime Minister if he allowed, one, the debate in the party room and allowed the Liberal members of Parliament a free vote.
No, but Macca, that's... I mean, I'm sorry to be pedantic about this. If you're going to have a free vote, you don't have a debate in the party room.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not about the party room arguing and then making up its mind. A free vote says you're informed, go away,
make your
choice as you wish.
Yeah.
Right. You're on Joy 94.9. This is A Little Pot of Joy with Andrea and Alice. Up next from the woods, Bear Equality.
Tim Peppard, Victorian Director of Australian Marriage Equality, joins in with Mark and Matt to pitch his vision for redefining the terms in marriage to just two people.
If you can't listen to the show live, download the podcast from the Joy website, www.joy.org.au, or the iTunes store.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Woof. This is The Woods. I'm Bear Curious Dean. I'm here with Big Bear Mark. And we're crazy in love tonight. We're talking about marriage equality with Tim Peppard, the Victorian Director of Australian Marriage Equality.
It's been a really big week in marriage equality politics.
Hasn't it, Bart?
I mean, coming off the back of the Ireland referendum a couple of weeks ago, of course, last Friday, the American judicial had SCOTUS, which means that now in all 50 states of America, it is illegal to discriminate for marriage equality. So we thought, who better to talk about this? Good friend of the program. We've got Tim Peppard from Australian Marriage Equality in. Hi, Tim.
Good evening, boys. How are you?
So you're Australian Marriage Equality and you're lobbying for equal bear love.
Bear and bear, lesbian and lesbian, twink and twink. Everybody, it's for the GLBTI community and any other variations. And it is that the Federal Marriage Act be changed from a man and a woman definition to that of two people. And so... regardless of gender. And so that's the big battle.
Because it's not a new battle, is it? This has been going for a while.
Oh, this has been going for a long. Well, actually, in 2004, John Howard, and I must say with the support of the Labor Party, mm-hmm. no opposition by the Labor Party, changed the Marriage Act. And it was, under the original constitution, two people, and he changed it to a man and a woman and tightened the definition. So shame on John Howard, but also too shame on the Labor Party for not fighting it at the time. That was Nicola Roxon.
Yeah, and look, last time we had you on the program, it was must have been almost a year ago, I think, on The Woods. You've been on Brekkie Bears and a few other programs since then. But a lot has happened in the last year.
Oh, huge. And also, too, social change, legal social change, happens in slow periods and then there's other bursts of activity. And this year, last year I was quite pessimistic about how long it would take for us to achieve marriage equality in Australia. But this year we've had the big two things in the last 2 months have been Ireland and the overwhelming popular support of regular people to vote for marriage equality in Ireland through a referendum. And then also to the US Supreme Court has announced that it is illegal for state courts to discriminate and state administrations to discriminate against same-sex marriage. So that has altered the wider debate in Australia, because Australians can benchmark themselves on a range of things, not just economics, but social policy and fashion and music and a range of issues with a range of countries. And now in the OECD, apart from Northern Ireland, we are the only English-speaking country to not allow marriage equality.
Is that right? The only English-speaking... That's incredible.
It's incredible and slightly sad. But it's also, it's one of those moments where you sort of think, well, what can we do to achieve this? And what's holding us back? And there's been a lot of activity in that space recently.
There has been. Look, we will come to that. But first of all, I do want to talk about Ireland in particular to start with. A referendum to overturn the laws there. That is a big call to have a referendum. It's the first time it was ever done, I believe.
That was actually peculiar to the Irish Constitution.
Yeah.
Ireland has, in Ireland's Constitution, allows for referendums on a range of matters, and much more than in Australia. We don't need a referendum because the politicians have the capacity to change the Marriage Act. In Ireland, that wasn't the case, so it needed a popular vote. And it was interesting in Ireland because it's the first time that a popular referendum had been on this issue. And the Irish were very clever. They prepared for it very well. And they got broad community support. Also, too, the Catholic Church in Ireland is on the nose in Ireland due to the terrible scandals of child sex abuse, lots of scandals regarding money, lots of scandals regarding the church preaching about celibacy, but some of the bishops had mistresses with children in America and other things. Mm-hmm. And so when all that became public in the last 20 years, the reputation of the Catholic Church in Ireland diminished quite significantly.
Yeah. And, I mean, Ireland, and this is where I find it interesting that equal marriage can pass in Ireland with a referendum, it does pale in. What are we doing here? I mean, I know that there were a few calls for referendums after that happened in Ireland. I agree that we don't need a referendum here because the parliamentarians can pass it. Just after that, there was a sort of a sense in Australia that, okay, this is sort of starting to heat up again, that if they can do it, why can't we? We saw Sarah Hanson-Young from the Greens put up a equal marriage bill. And I actually asked you this before the program, why didn't that go anywhere?
Well, for any And Tony Abbott said this recently, for any bill to be passed across the whole of the lower house and the Senate, it will require support from all parties. At the moment, the Liberal Party has a policy of not supporting marriage equality. Their policy is to not support it. The Liberal Party can have conscience votes on issues. There's been a range of conscience votes where previously Liberals, under John Howard, they've had numerous conscience votes. They had it about the abortion pill, RU 290 or something.
Yep.
They've had it on a range of issues. But Tony Abbott, in his wisdom, has decided that he, as the umpire, will not allow at the moment, or up till now, a conscience vote on this issue.
The other thing that I think has obviously ignited this debate, Tim, as well, is SCOTUS from the US last Friday.
Yes, the Supreme Court.
So can you tell us a bit about what actually happened there, just to explain what the big deal is, I suppose?
Well, this is a big deal because the many states in America have allowed marriage equality. And prior to the Supreme Court decision last week, it was either 36 or 37 states approved it, but the last 13 or so were very against it. Frequently they were in the South of America. And the mood in America does influence Australia. It's interesting that New Zealand and England having marriage equality was noted and commented upon by lots of people. But we get a lot of our economic and social policies indirectly from the developments that occur in America and England and other places. And in America, there've been major developments in support for marriage equality. It's interesting that what we've been doing within Australian marriage equality that's been very successful is that this year we've had advertisements showing corporate support for marriage equality. Our first ad, which was in the full page in the Australian in May, had 50 or so companies. The last ad we had, which was about a fortnight ago, it's actually on the 13th of June, the day we had a rally at Parliament House steps here, there was 150 corporates. Now the number of corporates who've signed on to our corporate support letter is over 350.
Wow.
And we've now getting major sporting codes signing that. So that's actually a tactic that happened from America that we've learned from. And there's a big big story in today's Financial Review, if anyone at home's got it, to have a look on about page 50, showing how popular support and acceptance of marriage equality in America took a range of different avenues. But one of the factors that was very telling for regular middle Americans and even, you know, wealthy people and people all over the country was the number of corporates who have come out in support of it. And corporates know that diversity exists. It's like saying gays don't exist. Everyone knows gays exist everywhere. And the corporates know through shopping experiences, through their staff, through a range of things, the amount of GLBTI people in the country. They know that many of their staff are GLBTI and that this is a good thing for people to feel comfortable about themselves and to also minimise the levels higher than for the regular population of depression and alcohol and drug addiction and other things, and that it's in the interests of corporates to have stable, happy staff and who have can see they've got a future in work and their lives and everything, and they think it's a win. And in Australia, that's showing. All the major banks, all the major corporates, if anyone's interested, log on to Australian Marriage Equality, and we have a rotating banner of all the corporates. Well, you have to watch it for 15 minutes to see all the corporates.
Yeah, but now you do it. Definitely the support.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, and this is A Little Pot of Joy with Andrea and Alice. Up next from Triple Threat.
This week, James finds out how often a bath towel should be washed and wonders if anyone else knew how often it should be. You might be surprised.
And you can listen to the entire podcast by downloading from the Joy website, joy.org.au/triple-threat, or download it for free from the iTunes store.
You're listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
We are talking towels.
Yeah, it's a pretty dry topic.
Oh, where's my...
Oh, dear.
That's the wet flick of the towel.
Yeah.
Can I ask this first?
Yeah.
Have you guys just brought up this topic to hate on me? Because
no. It's not all about you.
I feel as though this topic has been brought up to especially expose me.
Why? Well, do you have something that we don't know about?
Yeah.
Do you not wash?
I rarely wash towels.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My process for when a towel needs to be washed is just for when it doesn't dry on its own.
Right.
And therefore, like, if I have a shower and it's still wet, I'm like, well.
Actually, yeah. Sometimes that is my turning point of washing a towel. Because it's still wet from, you know, because I showered again or something. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get a new one.
Yeah.
I'm
actually,
gonna wash this one.
Retract that. I get a new one. I don't necessarily wash the other one.
Oh, no.
Well. So, how long do you think it goes before you wash a towel?
Oh. A week? 2 weeks?
Oh, a week.
Oh, a week? Really?
2.5 weeks?
Oh. We just went from a week to 2.5 weeks.
Hold on. Tell us the truth.
Tell us the truth.
No judgment.
Okay.
I don't wash towels, okay?
My
partner washes the towels.
She washes the towels?
Yeah.
All the time?
Well, I more just put them to the side and then somehow new towels are fresh and waiting.
Okay. And how often do you think this is? Actually... I think perhaps we get...
Hang on. So you're a two-day-a-week showerer? Two showers a day.
That's so many... I'm pretty sure that's unhealthy.
You have to change your towel.
I think that's too clean. Where's Nurse James or something? We need a medical professional.
We need someone that knows. So, okay, guys. You know how I... home.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, you never wash your towels because your mum does it.
Yes. Ugh. And I only wash them when she goes, Chris, it's time to change your towel.
Yes!
So I have no idea how often my towels are being washed.
Oh, because you're just like, sure, mum.
I'm like, okay. She's like, chuck your towels down. I'm like, all right. So just chuck them down.
Down the stairway.
So yeah, and because I'm living by myself at the moment because we're in the transition of the houses.
It hasn't been washed since you moved in.
No. My dad comes over and gets my towels.
Oh, no.
So I have no idea how often they're being washed. But I think it's pretty regular. They smell good.
That's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people are confused because when you, like, the towel shouldn't actually get dirty because...
Yeah, in theory.
You're always clean when you use
it,
right?
Yeah, you don't use it before you get into the shower.
Well, I found out how often it is you should clean it. So
wait. Where did you find this out?
Came up on the internet.
Oh.
And I've since done some further research.
Okay.
And it's been clarified.
Okay, so before we do this, just quickly, let's write down, Jess, what do you think?
How often should you wash your towels?
Yes. Mm.
Look, I'm going to go 5 days.
Okay.
5 days?
Yeah.
I'm going once a week.
Okay. We're talking about towels and how often they need to be washed because I came across a video / couple of articles over the last week, which is, let's be honest, has probably been released by a company that makes washing detergent or something, that has revealed how often one should wash their towel.
Yeah.
So we're putting the question out there for the Alesso CD.
Yes.
How often do you wash your towel?
So I
haven't revealed.
No, we don't know.
The answer is.
I said once a week.
Mm-hmm. And that's, but you don't know how often you wash your towel.
I have no idea.
No idea, because mummy does it.
Yeah.
I just.
But we've got some texts, yes.
Yeah. We've got one here. I don't use a towel. I live on my own, so I air dry and I can start my day. It makes things slippery, though. So taking
dangerous.
That's taking Cuba Gooding Jr.'s advice out of Jerry Maguire.
Oh. Air dry, yeah. Just and you shake it around.
Air dry, Jerry. I don't need a towel.
That's dangerous. I've slipped over. No one wants to sleep over in the nude.
That is a fear I have. Oh. Is that, you know, if I cark it, I don't want to be found butt naked. All right, like because when you're naked. You're not your best. You can make yourself look alluring, but if you've fallen over and cracked something, there's no way you can look sexy. And
plus, Seinfeld tells me that you have shrinkage. You don't want to be found with shrinkage.
No. Yeah, no, you do. Those cold tiles do not help.
No, you should not be letting anyone see it unless it's at least a semi. Right, so what else have people text in?
What else have we got? We've got one here from Chris, Chris Jamison. I wash my towels every 4 to 5 days.
Oh.
Then I met Cam, who never used a towel twice.
Oh!
Oh, my God! Never used a towel twice?
Really?
But
think of the environment, people. Not even in hotels do they do that anymore.
His water bill must skyrocket.
And then he managed to solve his dislike with a heated towel rack. Oh, so amazing invention. I actually need one of those. Mm-mm. And then now they've got a St. Bernard that drools on everything, so they're back to a load of towels every 2 days. Oof, that sounds terrible.
Okay. My brother texted in saying that only when it starts to stink does he wash it.
Oh, that's disgusting. How quick's that? Is your brother smelly?
No, I haven't seen him for a while.
I just got a text from my partner as well, telling me that our towels get washed once a week.
Okay.
So once a week seems pretty standard.
Also, they can't believe that I admitted to that they always do the towel washing.
I just admitted that my parents pick out my towels, so don't worry about it.
Okay, so and that's all the text, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'll reveal that the recommended time that you should spend, well, wait until you wash your towel, is in fact, in line with Cam, every 2 days.
No.
2 to 3 days. Yeah. Because the reason why they say that is because when you hang them up, the dampness can cause mold in the towel, and then it gets moldy.
Ugh.
I know. I don't want to wash it every 2 to 3 days. I don't even do washing that often.
No, hold on. Cam does it every time.
Used to. Right?
And we've just got a text in from Josh saying he does his every days.
What?
I want to know. Who has this many towels?
I know. I've only got 4 towels at my house.
Every day? That's too much. I don't have time to wash my towels every day.
I have such a mixture of beach towels and regular towels. I barely have enough for, like, swapping every fortnight.
Plus, like, I use those big towels, you know, like the bath towels. That's so much washing.
And those, if you get stuck with a beach towel, they don't dry very well.
No.
They don't absorb.
Because they're for the beach.
Yeah. And then you get the fluffy one.
The fluffy one. You've got to pick the bits off the towel.
And then you've got to pick the bits off your bits. It's terrible.
And that's when I have to be like, Mum, what have you done? Like, my towel's full of bits.
Kiss fabrics off the damn it!
You're listening to A Little Pot of Joy with Alice and Andrea. And, wow, that is a really important topic.
Isn't it? Very hard-hitting news.
Well, it's quite important to me. I probably wash about somewhere between 18 and 28 towels a week.
Wow, Andrea, 20 towels?
Well, I go to yoga in the mornings and I need a towel for the mat on the ground, and then I need one that I use for washing with. But then my partner also needs a towel every day.
I guess that makes sense. But how many towels do you have then?
Probably about 50 or 60.
50 or 60 towels?
Well, they're really cute colours.
I bet they are, but would you like to know how many towels I have?
Yeah?
I think I have 2.
Okay, how often do you wash your towels?
Well, it's not every 2 days, I'll tell you that. It's definitely not every 2 days. Well, I have to admit, my housemate actually sometimes washes my towels. I know, that's a terrible thing to admit. I don't ask her to do it, but sometimes she'll just be like, Alice, I put our towels in the wash together.
And we're at the end of another wonderful evening.
Wonderful as always.
And there's always so many amazing programs on Joy. Mm-hmm. There's something there for everybody. And we just highlight just some of the amazing programs. You can find more of the complete podcasts on the Joy website, www.joy.org.au, or download them for free from the iTunes store.
You've been listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program. See joy.org.au and click on our podcast link to subscribe to your favourite podcasts free.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.